Morning, church.
Morning.
And good morning to all of you joining us online as well. Yeah, a couple of the support groups we're highlighting. So if you're going through some stuff and those can help, be sure to let us know. We'll be highlighting a couple more support groups that we have next week available to you. But that's in particular for mental illness and loss of a loved one. So look forward to hopefully God using those in a way that's healing and recovery. Those are always difficult, super challenging things. But anyway, how cute is Mark Hughes's baby, huh? Did you see that up there? I mean, you know, he snuck her in there, live prop. It always helps when the camera person is his wife, so, you know, they figure that out. But anyway, she's a super cutie. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like lately on the news, there hasn't been a lot of Ukraine war coverage or Israel war coverage. I mean, I guess they pick and choose what they want to push and what sells and all that kind of stuff. But I know it got pretty gnarly there for a while. And I think, as far as I know, the wars are still going on and people are still getting killed. And it's crazy, the battle. And we're probably maybe a little more aware of it being in the town we're in here in San Clemente, being next to the military base. So maybe we know some people or loved ones that are deployed and engaged in that. But whenever you talk to, whenever I talk to a person that's in the military, there's a real awareness of chain of command, you know, their rank, where they are in the process of the chain of command. And that's especially important when there's a military conflict, right? I mean, you know, you're waiting for orders from, quote, your superior. And it works it up. So whether you're in a unit or a company or a battalion, whatever you want to call it, there's always that chain of command. There's always that ultimately top dog, the one that's in charge. It has a picture of the whole thing that gives those orders that go down through and filter out through. And of course, you need that, right? Because if every soldier just made a decision based on what they thought at the time, there would be a lot of chaos. It wouldn't be coordinated, potentially loss of life, and it would be very difficult. So obviously, that's in place to make things ordered and ultimately, hopefully, successful in the conflict. And so we, to some level, we have that situation in our lives today in terms of our spiritual battle. Last few weeks, we've been talking about a spiritual battle that we're all in. And it's super important that we work up the chain of command, so to speak, and get our orders from the one who has the broader picture of the battle and understands the battle, because if we just make those decisions based on our instincts or what we think at the time, again, could lead to chaos, could lead to spiritual injury of ourselves or even others. And so we've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks, and today is the final week we're going to discuss it. I've entitled this morning's message, Final Orders, and we're going to look at Understanding the Spiritual Battle, Part 4. By getting our cues from Jesus, who is the ultimate one in charge and the ultimate one who has the perspective and the ultimate one that can help us in this spiritual battle that we're all engaged in, whether you like it or not, or whether you know it or not. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But the context of our passage here this morning is Jesus is literally now in the final moments with his disciples. He started it at the beginning of an evening, and they had a Passover meal together. That got redefined into communion. There was more discussion about what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. And ultimately, it came down to him saying, I'm leaving. And the way he was going to be leaving, that obviously we will see, is they leave that room, and he goes into a garden, and he prays, and he gets arrested, ultimately tried and crucified. But they didn't know all that exactly. He just said he was leaving, which freaked them out. And they want to go with him, and he's saying, no, you can't go, but here's how you stay strong, like a vine and a branch, abide in me, and here's how you stay faithful, so don't bail out, don't panic, and then he transitions into this discussion of a battle. Hey, it's going to be hard out there. When I leave, it's going to be tough, and I'm telling you that, and I'm warning you about that, because it's going to happen. So by way of review, we look back, and we looked at the first point 3 weeks ago that Jesus predicted this spiritual battle. And that's why I said, it doesn't matter if you know it or not, it doesn't matter if you understand it or not, it is. And so given that, Now what, right? And so that was where Jesus starts instructing them on how to stay strong and how to stay connected. So by way of review, we talked about how this battle is really a battle of not bombs and bullets. It's a spiritual battle of truth and lies. It's a battle of ideas. It's a battle of light and darkness. It's a battle of Jesus in the world. And because we're believers, we're going to enter into this spiritual battle because we're aligned with Jesus. He said that. He says, if the world hated me, they're going to hate you because of me in your life, because you're following me. If the world persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You're not greater than me. If they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. And so we talked also about not taking this battle personal. And what I mean by that is when we engage in spiritual conflict in today's life, wherever that is, in your home, workplace, family life, wherever that is, there's a tendency where if things don't go well, that we can think we did something wrong. And then we can take it personal. We're like, oh, I guess I got to be better at talking about Jesus because they didn't respond quite the way I thought they would. Or I guess I blew it. Or better yet, I'm not trained. I don't do it well. Let's leave it to the gifted people. And that's not the issue at all. The issue is the battle will take place, and there's no way you can ensure a positive response. If Jesus couldn't ensure the positive response, nor can we. So that was a couple of weeks ago. We unpacked that a little. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the opposition, the one or person or event or situation that we are battling is accountable to God. They're not accountable to us, okay? And if you think they should be accountable to you, then that's where the problem starts, because you start taking the role of God. In other words, you think you need to defend God. You need to stand up for God. And they insulted me, and you know what? I'm gonna come back, and I'm gonna protect God. And so we do that on social media. We do it in a lot of other places, and it adds more to the chaos. Don't bite the bait. And then we talked about how it's important to keep talking about Jesus, that even though things aren't often feeling good, which will be the next point, let me just go jump to it, it may feel like you're losing the battle. And by that, nobody responds. I can never get a good response. I can never talk about the Lord and not have it opposed. I must be doing something wrong. No, it's not you're doing anything wrong. And it even may feel like you're losing, because Jesus said, man, you may get killed over this stuff. Well, if you're going to get killed, you're going, what did I do wrong? And Jesus said, yeah, but they killed me. And so this idea of staying in the battle, being aware of it, not backing out, because things don't feel right, the things don't look like they're going right. If we don't stay in the battle, there's nobody else that's going to stay in the battle. Who else is going to fight it? Who else is going to shine light in the darkness if it isn't us? And just because it feels like sometimes the darkness overwhelms the light, don't stop shining. Okay? And then last week, we talked about remembering we're not alone. That Jesus said he will send the Holy Spirit. He calls him a helper multiple times, which means we need it. So we got backup. We got support. We're not in this alone. So these are all been ideas, principles, points, whatever you want to call them, to kind of understand more the spiritual battle that we all face. And we got a few more truths here this morning, and they begin in verse 12 of chapter 16. Jesus says this, I still have many things to say to you. He's talking to disciples, remember? But you cannot bear them now. In other words, if I keep going, you're going to lose it, right? So I'm going to curtail that. I got a few more things to say, but not going to fully go there. You can't bear it now. But there's a lot more to be coming. Made me think, too. I thought, okay, that's interesting. What could be more? Right? Makes you go, what are you holding back? But there's a lot more. Our author, the Apostle John, is in this room. So what was more for John that he couldn't bear? He couldn't comprehend. Jesus could have said, John, you're gonna write a gospel that's gonna cover my whole life in ministry. Imagine John, how am I gonna do that? You know, I'm not good at school. I don't know how to write, you know, I don't know. Oh, not only that, you're gonna write 3 letters for 2nd, 3rd John. Oh, it's gonna be named after me? How do I do that? Who are the letters to? What am I gonna do? Well, if you think that's big, you're gonna write the book of Revelation. Holy moly, right? And so there was a lot more for John, as well as Matthew, as well as Peter, everybody else in the room. So Jesus stopped at that point for their sanity's sake. But here's the promise: when the Spirit of truth comes, who is that? Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. So there's more to come, and you'll find out the more that come, and it's going to be the role of the Holy Spirit to communicate that with you. For he will not speak on his own authority. He doesn't have a brand new message. This isn't a whole new thing. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So the Holy Spirit will keep you connected to me, to God. The Holy Spirit will be communicating the things of God to you. He will guide you so you'll handle things right, so you'll do the right thing in the spiritual battle. He'll provide intel, so to speak, guidance, truth, insight. But the implication is get ready to listen. The implication is, hey, you know what? He's going to be saying some stuff, so you want to be aware of that. Don't have the radio off. Don't just close your ears and move on. Always be looking, always be coming back, always be ready to hear what's coming down from on high that has the whole picture. So the way I simplified it, and we're talking about understanding the spiritual battle, number one on your outline, or number seven, if you want to keep that letter, is pray for insight. We need to be praying for insight every day because we're in a battle every day. Pray and ask God to give you wisdom on this struggle, to give you insight on this challenge, to give you perspective on this feeling. What is a spiritual battle? What is the work of the flesh? What is our sinful nature? It doesn't really matter because the answer is the same. Pray. Go to the helper because he's there to help. Without godly insight, our understanding will always be limited, which will put us at spiritual risk. I quoted, the last verse I quoted last week was Paul, the Apostle Paul, reflecting on this spiritual battle. And he talks about, we got to fight this battle, and he equates it to somebody in the military during that time, like a Roman soldier, and you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness, you got to have the sword of the Spirit, you got to da-da-da. But at the very end, you remember I quoted it last time, I only quoted part of it, I want to quote the whole thing now. He says this: praying at all times. So all this stuff you're putting on, man, be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and all supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, so don't give up. We talked about that. Making supplication, that literally means asking fervently for all the saints. So don't just pray for you, pray for others. And he says in verse 19, also pray for me, that my words may be given to me, that open mouth boldly proclaim the spirit and mystery of the gospel. Why boldly? Because it's a spiritual battle out there, for which I am an ambassador in chains, because he was in jail at the time, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So even Paul was wrestling with giving up. Even Paul was wrestling with defeat. Even Paul was wrestling and frustrated that things weren't working out. He's in jail, for goodness sake, and he's thinking, what am I doing in jail? How do I do that? So pray for me. Pray for me in the struggle, and let's pray for each other. And you pray for yourself all the time. He told the church at Thessalonica, Love this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. My kids, my adult children, is that what you say? Kids, they're not kids. The youngest is 30. They all have babies and their moms and dads and my family. Let's go there. Jokes, because I'm always asking Siri stuff. Like, hey, Siri, what's this mean? Hey, Siri, what's the directions? Hey, Siri. I'm like, why wouldn't you? They're like, okay, but they're really good with their thumbs. So they're like, you know. In fact, Siri's talking to me right now, so. Our culture's changed. We're pretty self-sufficient. When I was young and used to walk uphill in the snow to school, I feel I'm having one of those moments though right now, because it's like, you know, you did. You had to go to the librarian to get information. You had to go to a travel agent to get on a plane. Now it's like, Google it. You had to go to a doctor to be diagnosed. Google it. Right? Everybody's becoming self-sufficient. And AI is going to make it worse. How many of you have heard of ChatGPT? Yeah, okay. I guarantee you, everybody under the age of 25 has heard of it, because it's a great way to write a term paper and not get caught. All you got to say is, you know, write a term paper for Abraham Lincoln, make it 30 pages, and review his struggles in his first year of pregnancy. Boom, presidency, blah, 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 it's coming out. The other day I said, hey, write a love song from Mark, who dearly loves his wife, Susan, married for 40 years. It did it. It was crazy. It was a good song. It was like, I wake up in the morning and look at your eyes, and it's like, what the heck? How'd they know? I keep you in my heart and all this kind of stuff. So all I'm saying is culture is changing. So, you know, I thought, okay, ChatGPT. How do you win the spiritual battle? Yeah. Why not? Couple things. They listed them. Self-awareness. Understand yourself. Positive mindset. Set intentions. Connect with others. Educate yourself. Embrace challenges. Practice forgiveness. Cultivate compassion. None of it's bad. But notice how none of it says talk to God. Seek God. Whoever your God is. No. Solve it yourself. And that's our culture. Self-sufficiency. So this idea of praying without ceasing, I mean, that's conversation, that's like ongoing, it's gonna be countercultural, which makes sense, right? If the enemy wants to win, he's gonna cut off any communication, right? Black Hawk down. That's what happened. They got lost to communication. They're on their own. Oh no, and they're coming in. They got no reinforcements. They got nobody that can't communicate, right? So we have the ability to have a direct line to the commander, the lieutenant colonel, whatever you want to call it, to Jesus himself, Lord of Lords, the one who will win the battle, the one to help us be effective. We need to be talking to him. And here's the deal. If we're honest, think about your prayers. I was going to say prayer life, but that's bad. I don't like that because it segregates. Like you have this life and you have a prayer life. But you know what I'm saying. So think about your prayer activity. How about that? How often? How much? How active is it? That'll give you an indication of how well you're winning the spiritual battle versus operating on your own. You're going, I don't really pray. Yikes. You're at spiritual risk. Because you're not going to the one that has the bigger picture, the bigger perspective that can make you successful and prevent you from being spiritually hurt. You're relying on your own instincts and your own wisdom, which is ChatGPT. So, start asking God. It's super simple, and sometimes we confuse this. So I like to equate it to this. Just think of a relationship you have with somebody else. Okay, what do you do when you want to talk? Do you have to go to a special room in the house? Do you have to use special words? Do you have a time limit? No, you just talk. You could be on the phone and waiting for your In-N-Out burger. You could be at work. You could be on the way to something. You could be coming back from something. You could be in a quiet room. Anywhere. It doesn't matter. Why? Because God's everywhere. So we create this interesting little thing, and then when we don't do the thing, then we don't pray. Well, then forget the thing. Just keep the radio on. That's what we're doing. We're keeping the radio on. So when you have a thought, talk to God. When you have a struggle, talk to God. When you're feeling challenged, talk to God. Not complicated. Don't feel you need special words? Tell God, I don't even know quite how to pray right now. In fact, I don't even feel like praying right now, God, but I'm going to pray. You don't think he knows what you're thinking, Lincoln? So don't complicate it. That's why I say don't make it a prayer life, because then that becomes a thing. It becomes rote, and it becomes just like anything else. And we like to do that because we feel ordered and stuff, but we don't do it in our relationships every day, in our conversations every day. We don't order them and, okay, today's I'm going to talk to this person for 10 minutes and then this person for 3 minutes. And then, no, we don't do that. And so since God wants a relationship with us, an interaction with us, you get the idea. But I think this is the big reason why we're not winning the battle. Is we're not connected to the point man. We're trying it on our own. So whatever that shift is for you, I encourage you to do it. But it just starts with talking to God. You could do it right now. Verse 14, Jesus continues, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. So this won't be a new leader or message. And he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So he'll speak on behalf of me. It's like it's Christ-centric. There's no Holy Spirit wants your attention over here. Holy Spirit wants a separate message over here. No, the Holy Spirit's going to testify to the ministry and message of Jesus. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So notice the Trinity there, by the way, the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, they're all unified, and he will glorify Jesus, and he'll declare to you. Notice the declaring a lot. He will glorify me, but take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine, therefore I have said, take what is mine and declare it to you. So there's this declaring communication piece that's super important. So not only do we need to be praying for insight, but we need to have hearers to hear the answer. Which means we need to shut up when we're praying. We need to allow for some space and stop chirping. I think this is a new thing, a new concept too, but here, let me give you the point. Second point in understanding the spiritual battle, be a good listener during prayer. be a good listener during prayer. The Holy Spirit has something to declare. The question is, are we going to hear it? Or are we just going to do all the talking? Can you imagine a soldier on the radio with the commander, and the soldier just nonstop talks and then just hangs up? He'd have no guidance, no direction. I mean, the commander would know what's going on and be going, calling him back. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the coordinates I want you to make. No. Chirp, 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 chirp. And this is what happens, too. I don't think we're used to this. This idea of being quiet and listening to the Lord. It almost feels mysterious. Like, what? Yeah, I know people say God told me and all that. And what does it mean to listen? Is it a voice that's audible and all this kind of stuff? And usually we're wondering because we've never done it. But when you start doing it, and I'll tell you in a minute what that looks like, but when you start doing it, you'll start understanding the voice of God in your heart. You'll start understanding the perspectives that come to mind that aren't of you, that are of a supernatural inspiration. And you start to get answers that maybe even surprise you. Paul's a great example of that, the Apostle Paul. When he had that deep struggle, remember he talked about it as a thorn in his flesh? We don't know what it is, but man, it hurt. Whatever it was, it hurt physically, it hurt emotionally, we don't exactly know. But we know that he pleaded with God. In fact, the text says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, three times I pleaded, I was talking with God, with the Lord, to take it away from me, this pain. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, your pain you're talking about was intentional because I'm using it to help grow you up spiritually. But how did he get that message? He had to listen and stop talking. He pleaded with him, chirp, 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 and then he stopped and listened. And he got the message. He got the answer. He got the insight. He got the perspective that allowed him not only, and I don't have it here, but I got it on one of your daily devotions on the back. Not only did it give him some perspective and peace, he actually said, so I don't want this thing to go away because it's good for me. In fact, I rejoice in it now. Why? Because he got the answer. How did he get the answer? He listened. My mother-in-law was a godly lady. She's passed and she's with Jesus. She had this down. And I would say as an outlier, because I'd say most of us don't have this down. When you think of your prayer life, how do? You go in, you talk, you go through some things that are on your mind, you say amen and walk away. She was a good listener. She would go on silent retreats. For a month, 30 days of not speaking. That sounds terrible. That sounds like a prison. But for her, it wasn't. Because she had a lot of, she didn't talk to other people, but there was a lot of conversation going on and a lot of listening from the Lord. She came back revived, perspective, focused. Now, I'm not saying we need to go that far. But I would suggest we start with a few minutes, which is hard too. And it, so we a few days ago we had an elder meeting, and it was a Zoom meeting, and three elders could be present. Two elders, one was out of the country, but he participated by phone, so we couldn't see him. The other one was on the road. So obviously he's not going to watch; he's just going to listen. So. Participated by phone as well. So I'm talking about some things, and the three that are in the Zoom meeting, you know, we're going back and forth, we're talking, they're nodding, you know, they're, okay, I get you, you get me, you know, we're talking, da-da. And every once in a while, and the other two are silent, and every once in a while, like, are you there? And then wait, probably unmuting. Yeah. Okay, good. Then we're back to this. relationship. Okay, talk. So then when it came down to the end, it's like, okay, cool. Oh, yeah, the two guys that are there. Hey, you guys still there? Yeah. Well, what do you think? Wait. Then they told us what they think. The reason I bring that up is because we're used to this. And when we come to God and it's quiet and no one's there to, you know what I mean? We have to be intentional and say, God, what do you think? And wait. You don't need to ask him if he's there. He's there. But you need to ask him for insight. You need to ask him for guidance. You need to ask him for perspective. You need to ask him for wisdom. You need to ask him for healing. You need to ask him, keep going, whatever your ask is, and then wait. Because if you don't wait, and you just say, in Jesus' name, amen, and get up and leave, you're not listening. You're talking to the commander, downloading, and walking away, and getting no coordinates, getting no guidance, getting no direction. So it's pretty simple. When we talked about the conversation piece, talking to God, just ask the question and wait. How long? I don't know. Till it's awkwardly uncomfortable. Do you remember some of you are old-time PCCers? You were here when we did EHS, a mostly healthy spirituality, Peter Zakarzyi's program. Do you remember we had the daily office? And he really had this down. The daily office was basically a book, and it had daily devotions to go through. And do you remember how it worked? He started with 2 minutes of silence, and then you read this little devotional, and you read this little prayer. The whole thing takes like a minute. And then he ends with 2 minutes of silence. And do you, if you remember, some of you are nodding, which is good. That's very encouraging. Some of you remember, and I certainly remember, that the first 2 minutes of silence, that's hard, man. Your mind is going, to slow down and be silent. But if you practice it, all of a sudden it's like, ding, oh, wow, that was quick. 3 minutes, 4 minutes. My mother-in-law did it for a month. That's remarkable to me. But anyway, that's like, wow. It's deep. But I remember on her death, this is weird, but I'm just going to give this to you because it's not my notes, but I remember on her deathbed, and I was looking at her, I said, Novelle, how are you feeling? She goes, I'm excited. Wow. Everything I've thought about, everything I've followed, it's going to happen. I'm excited to see how it works out. I think, because she's heard from God. Now, here's the deal. I'll just say it straight up. Some of us have unique communication styles, which means some of us, by definition, are good listeners, and some of us aren't. You know you. You got to figure out you. But all I'm saying is, when you're in a conversation with somebody else, if you do all the talking and very little listening, this is going to be a challenge for you. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some practice. Or if you ask somebody a question and they start to answer and it triggers a thought for you to now go, me, and we're off to the races. Or if you find that you come away from a gathering and you don't know anything about the person you just gathered with, but they know everything about you, this is going to be a struggle. Now, some of you are good listeners. Some of you are good question askers and good listeners. And if that's you, just do it with God. But some of you who like to talk, like to fill the air, don't feel comfortable with silence, those kinds of things, I'm just letting you know ahead of time, it's going to be a little bit difficult. In fact, you could practice with other people. Probably do well. I call it give them the gift of listening. Because some people need that gift when they're lonely or doing whatever. Or they get super old and just want to talk all day. No, I'm just kidding. Because I'm chirping right now nonstop too. But the key is to ask for directions. I would say start with 2 minutes of silence. Start with it. Won't hurt. Let's practice it right now. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to give you like a minute to talk to God about your personal struggle. Whether it's a spiritual battle or not, maybe you don't know, but it's a struggle. Maybe it's a struggle with a family member about your faith. Maybe it's a personal struggle with a sin that's just convicting you. Maybe it's a difficult relationship that has gone south. Whatever, all of those can actually be spiritual battles too. And to nuance it doesn't really matter because the approach is still the same. Share that with God. Tell God how you're struggling with it and ask God for specifics. God, help me struggle with this. God, please give me insight on how I should view this. Let me have your eyes on this relationship, because right now I just have hurt eyes. Help me to understand what is really going on. Give me wisdom on what to do or what not to do. Whatever your question is, take a minute and do that, and then I'll transition us into a time of listening. Ready? Go. God, I just ask now that you would speak to our hearts. We've shared it with you. Whatever our struggle is, you've heard them all. They're personal to us. We know that you know, and we don't. We recognize that your wisdom will be the one that works. Your insight will be the perspective that heals, that allows for growth and victory and not failure and defeat. So Lord, I just pray for one nugget right now, one insight, one answer to each and every one of us, that as we're quiet before you, you would just tell us what that is. Please be our helper. And help us through this, whatever situation we've brought to you. Please speak to us now. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. How was that? That answer time that I allowed for was 1 minute. If you're saying, wow, that was hard, just highlights we need practice. The truth of the issue, and I'll just leave you with this, comes from Ephesians 6:12. Apostle Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." How much more do we need to be connected? Do we need to be communicating? Do we need to be hearing from our commander, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ? Amen? God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.